T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now and talk to CBS NFL analyst and former NFL general manager Scott Pioli. Good morning, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Joe, Zach, thanks for having me on. Great to be on with you guys. Appreciate it.
We appreciate it very much. By the way, before we get going, Scott, I got to ask you about last night. A lot of quarterback misses in the first round by NFL teams been going on forever, right? I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah.
So I did a Mel Kiper Jr. Like Joe Burrow, he's going to be
a have the hair?
That's going to be a hit, right? That's not going to be a miss. That guy sure looks, I hate to say sure shot because you never know, but what would you say from just watching him throw it?
You never know is exactly right, because stranger things have happened with some really good college players. But he certainly looks like the real deal, because it's not only his throws. I mean, it's the way he competes, the way he, you know, he has this inner thing that you look for in a lot of quarterbacks. His ability to lead authentically and genuinely, you can read and see and feel the players react to it. His energy is real. Again, I've watched him since the beginning of the season and saw him, particularly, I think it was the third game of the year against Texas. And I remember telling my wife and saying, okay, this guy's pretty special. And he sustained it the entire season. But he has the tools. He has the background. He's got everything. And now, we've said this before about players, and it hasn't worked, but I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I think he's going to be the real deal.
Yeah. Scott, as being a guy that has been in the room, or at least been in the conversation room, about who you're going to draft, who you're going to take, let's say you needed a quarterback, you had the fifth pick in this year's draft, and maybe there's
let's just say that, Scott,
yeah,
if you were
just hypothetically, let's just throw like the Dolphins team out there. Let's say they had the fifth pick overall. You were in the room with a certain head coach, Brian Flores, making a decision, and the doctor says, yeah, this guy Tua from Alabama, I think he's going to be okay. And think is the big word in that conversation, because no one really knows. Do you take a shot on Tua with the fifth pick overall if you're the Miami Dolphins?
Here's what I'd say. It's, let's say, January 12th, 13th, somewhere around there.
Right, 14th,
East-West, East-West practice. So I've lost track of the days. Here's what I'd say. It's way too early. It's way too early to make a prediction or to say that this is who we're going to pick. This is why the draft is in April. In the case of Tua, here's what I think on the side of whatever team that picks him. There's still 4 months to determine, to spend time with doctors, to see what his progress is in his rehab. You know, years ago, this injury would look like a career ender, right?
Right.
But we don't know that. When we watch players come back now from injuries, different injuries, whether it's, I mean, significant knee surgeries, how quickly they come back. Science is so different and medicine is so different from what it was back when this happened to Bo Jackson. And Joe, you playing, you know, every injury is different. Even the same injury is different, and every body is different, how they recover, what rehab is like, what setbacks are or aren't. So to say that Tua is the guy that they should take, I think it's way too early. I really do. But, B-Flow, Brian Flores sure knows, and Chris Greer, they've been doing this long enough, and they both learned, Chris learned from his dad, who was a tremendous personnel man in the league, and B-Flow learned from some pretty good people. They will be patient and figure out what's the best thing when it comes time, April.
All right, I want to ask you about that guy, Brian Flores. I don't know how the hell he did it, but he won 5 games with that group, and that it was – built the culture. We've seen a different kind of coach for sure. You know Brian Flores pretty well. You surprised that what he was able to do in year one?
I'd say yes and no. Surprised that they got the number of wins that they did, because it's so hard to win one game in this league, let alone 5. The roster was challenging this year. Because it wasn't just the roster. As he had this roster, he was trying to implement a culture. and a culture that is all about winning, and everything he does is about winning. And, you know, I've known Brian since he graduated college, Boston College in 2004. Knowing him like I do, I'm not surprised. But again, if I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, I would be extremely encouraged, because there's a lot of people and a lot of voices and a lot of, you know, narratives out there telling him to tell his team that it was over. Don't fight.
Right.
And what he did this year and how he did it, he established a culture and a mentality with his football team that is going to have longevity. And the easy thing to do this year was say, okay, we're going to start focusing on the future. Let's start thinking about next year. Let's just get this in place. Let's get this in place. Let's worry about all these things that don't matter about winning, because I've seen programs do that. Everything this guy did was about winning. And again, his passion and his truth is remarkable. And I'll tell you this, again, the easy thing to do would have been to listen to some of the whispers and say, gosh, let's worry about next year. But one of the building blocks he knows about, because he comes from the same program and the same family that I'm a part of, is in order to establish any kind of real credibility for longevity for your football program, is you must win and win now.
Can we talk about that family for a sec? You led me right in perfectly. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, yeah. Can they get it worked out for one more year at least? I think they can. What do you think, Scott?
You know, I don't know. And again, I hope they can. And that's not you have to remember, Bill and I worked together for 17 years. I was there when there was a small group of us that decided we're going to draft Tommy. And he is a dear friend, and Bill's a dear friend. For the good of the game, and I would love to see them continue together, right? Because I'm a bit of a sap when it comes to football and football history. I would love to see them to continue together for as long as they desire. But I also know they've been playing with house money, you know, to be together this long.
Yep.
Whatever they decide is the best for them, that's what I truly hope they do. As a selfish football, you know, when you're not working in the league, which this past year I didn't, you become a bit of a fan. You go back to what drew you to the game. For the good of the game, I would love to see them stay together.
I always wonder, because he's so good, some would call him the greatest quarterback of all time now, one of the greatest players to ever play. He's so big up there and been such a big part of their success. Then it get harder for owner and Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft to say, probably should let him go, but how do we let this popular dude go and what he's meant to this organization? Let's try to milk out another year in him. Is it more of that? That's got to be a tough one.
Well, I also know this, you know, it is tough. It's emotionally tough. And again, being together with Bill, we made some really hard decisions in those first 9 years together. There were players that came in, gave a lot to the game, gave a lot to us, and it was time to move on. This one seems a little bit different, and I've watched Bill handle it a little bit different. I've watched the Crafts handle it a little differently. Again, for all of the things that people view on the outside of Bill Belichick, I was close enough to know that he is an empathetic man. He also knows that he has an obligation and a job. He tries to balance those things the best that he can. You know, I was with him in Cleveland when we cut Bernie Kosar. I saw how that affected him. Again, he had to do what he had to do was best for the team. He was right in the decision he made. Deep down inside, in quiet corners, did it bother him that he was having to end the, you know, at that point in time, potentially end the career of a lifetime football guy? That's what people don't understand about Bill. Bill's respect for football and football people, whether they're players or coaches on other teams. You know, a perfect example was when Bill Cowher, who competed against Belichick as hard as anybody, and they couldn't stand each other on Sundays, you know, when they competed against one another. One of the first people that Bill Cowher mentioned the other day on CBS, when he was talking and voted into the, or told he was in the Hall of Fame, he mentioned Bill Belichick. And those are the things that people don't see about him that are behind the scenes, is that he loves and cares about football people. Now, he has to make some hard decisions, and that's a really delicate balance. This is a brutal game. This is a brutal business, and decisions have to be made. That doesn't mean when you make a decision that is tough in someone else's life that you don't care about them.
Scott, does it bother Bill Belichick that he's lost so many coaches. I mean, because one guy leaves, one coordinator takes a job, takes three of his other guys with him. I mean, this guy, he's got coaches everywhere. We got him in down with the Giants now. We got him down here. We got him in, let me see, Houston. They're everywhere, man.
Yeah, and I think at the moment it happens, it's certainly frustrating because, you know, I was with Bill when we started losing coaches back in, you know, the early 2000s and mid-2000s. And it's frustrating to him in one sense because he has to build it or rebuild it or sustain it. But I think that there's any coach who loses someone that has worked with them for such a long time has a degree of pride in watching their people grow and move on. It's like, you know, it's like a proud parent. And it, in a weird way, that's what it's like. So I think he actually also takes some pride. Does it make his job tougher? Yes, it does, and I don't think he really cares. You know, you look at how he's still related to all those people. I mean, he's got former players. He's got Mike Vrabel now, you know, who played for eight seasons. So I think, does it frustrate him? But maybe it does. He would have to answer for that, but I've seen him react, and I think that there's a great deal of pride that any good football person would have. I mean, I know he's proud of Brian. You know, Brian started with me in scouting in 2004, and then he got tired of me, I think, and had to transition over into coaching one with Bill. And I know that Bill's proud of him, and he should be. I mean, you know, I know we talked a little bit about Brian before, but I can't say this enough, how fortunate Miami Dolphin fans are to have not only a coach like Brian Flores, but a man like Brian Flores and his family down in that city.
Scott, tougher life moment for you, sitting down Bill and Bill for that documentary, or looking back at that Cleveland 95 documentary and seeing what blew up and what could have been. I watch both of those. I tell Joe all the time, I love the football lives and the 30 for 30s and all that. But watching the Cleveland 95 one, every time I have a chance, it's so tough to see what you guys had there and what could have been. But actually being the in-between between Bill and Bill to get them to sit down, that had to be pretty tough also.
Yeah, I don't know which documentary to talk about first, but the Bill and Bill one was unique because it was unique because obviously one man is my mentor and a guy that I worked with for 17 years and is still a dear personal friend, you know, and the other guy happens to be my father-in-law.
Right.
And by the way, there was a point in time they, you know, I don't want to say they hated each other, but they sure disliked one another tough on one another. Yeah. And again, when you have one guy, you're working with one guy, he's one of your dearest friends and mentors. And again, the other guy's your father-in-law. That's a tough line to walk along. But, you know, I'm just truly thankful. Again, I'm a bit of a sap. And when that was resolved, it actually happened in the kitchen of our vacation home on Nantucket when Parcells was up visiting. And it was cool to be a part of watching people, human beings that I knew deep down inside loved one another, reconcile, right? There were people that it never made sense to me that there were these two men who really genuinely cared about one another, respected one another. But, you know, here's the only way I can say it. Competition and this game, and because it's mostly all dudes, we don't act normally.
Yeah.
And we behave and do things in the spirit or justification of competition that is really wrong.
Yeah.
And we lose our way sometimes and we hurt people unintentionally because we know we've got to beat them to survive. And I think that's maybe part of what happened along the way there. And we unintentionally hurt people's feelings, but it was beautiful to see them get together and resolve whatever differences, and they're friends now. And you can't, I mean, think about it. They won Super Bowls together. They were good buddies. They coached together. They spent more times with one another than they did their spouses and their families. And then they weren't speaking. It broke my heart.
Right. Well, listen, man, you got pretty serious on us about that. And that's fine.
You went documentary on
it. That was good. And by the way, they both had Lawrence Taylor, so it couldn't have been that bad when they were together. And the second thing is, if ever in doubt with who you work with or a family member, always go Weiss family. You know the rule, Scott, over Belichick. You always go with the wife and the family because you got to live with it every day, my man. You know how this thing works. Come on.
He gave me, at the end of the day, Bill Parcells gave me his blessing to go up to New England with Belichick, even though he was furious with him. And that also told me something.
Right, right.
Because I was under contract with the Jets, and he could have kept me there if he wanted.
Right. Wow.
But he knew that it was a better opportunity, and he knew how close Belichick and I were.
Scott,
so in 2000, when that all went down, you know.
This has been great. No, I was just going to say, you keep this up, Scott. We're going to have you on like once a week,
right,
man. That was some good stuff right there. That was, thank you.
We haven't even gotten into Brian Flores stories yet now.
Oh, no. That's
so
coming up next.
We
would love to. And by the way, we do, I got to tell you, I've been around him this first year. And man, I've watched him. He is, he acts like he's been around doing this for a while. He's really good. And it couldn't have been easy, Scott. He just let his two coordinators go, who he's known for a long time, that are both New England guys. Those decisions can't be easy to make.
They're not. But that's a moment that Miami Dolphins fans and I hope the media realize. And to me, the significance in that is he loves those two guys. But he has made decisions that he believes are in the best interest of the Miami Dolphins and the team winning.
Wow.
And that's no small thing. And I think having had I've been in those chairs before, right, of having to make some really tough decisions. And you make tough decisions. And the fans, and I hope the media understand how important this is to him for the Miami Dolphins family.
Scott, thank you very much for coming on.
It,
we got to get back on the sideline and get caught up again. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you. Take care, man.
All right. That was Scott Pioli, CBS Sports NFL analyst, 27-year NFL exec. And, get some good stuff right there. By the way, it's time for the WQM Football Frenzy $1,000 cash giveaway. $1,000 for you. Free. Here's how you could win. This hour's text word is fire. Scott Pioli was on fire just now. Text that right now to 72881. That's 72881. If you have the correct word, you can win $1,000. That's fire, F-I-R-E. Text it now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Your next chance at the top of the next hour. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. This is a national contest sponsored by Anna Jarn Levine Accident Attorneys. The 8 a.m. code word is fire, F-I-R-E. Text it to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. All right, on Saturday, February 1st, 560 The Joe and Radio.com present The Night Before at the BB&T Center, starring the Zach Brown Band, who you're hearing right now. Join us for the biggest big game pre-party in South Florida with Grammy Award winners, the Zach Brown Band. Tickets for the show on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, but they're going fast. The Night Before is presented by Radio.com and AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, The Joe. And how about this, Joe? We have two tickets to give away right now to the Night Before concert with the Zach Brown Band. It's at the BB&T in Sunrise.
Is it a cold beer on a Friday night?
Right. That's exactly what it is. Right now, caller number 5, 305-567-0560 will win a pair of tickets to the Night Before concert with the Zach Brown Band. That is February 1st, right before the big game down here in South Florida.
What the hell's going on with us getting all this stuff?
We have a lot of stuff to give away.
Got two big tickets we're going to be giving away late next week.
We have these two tickets to the Night Before concert just for today to give out. Gave away some wrestling tickets earlier, but now, caller 5, 305-567-0560. You win a pair of tickets for the Zach Brown Band concert, the Night Before concert. Radio.com is the big sponsor for that one, so it's a big one right now. Caller number 5.
All right, and we have had some of the craziest stories, starting with the start-to-finish year that we just saw Joe Burrow have. Is never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it. I'm trying to think back where he had a really bad game, considering, and you know, the teams that he played against just all the good teams, basically, except Ohio State, and beat them all. And last night goes for 463 yards and 5 touchdowns. He ran for another one last night. Ended up just shattering the record. And by the way, this is not a small Division I school where you can just light up. This is Joe Burrow at LSU, 60 touchdown passes, ran for 5, and threw for 5,671 yards. I mean, the numbers are just, through his 15 games, just incredible from start to finish. And while we're sitting down here, I was just thinking, last night Cincinnati was selling tickets late at night.
They should have been.
The Cincinnati Bengals were selling tickets, man, for the guy that is joining a small group with the Heisman Trophy, the national championship, and the first overall pick.
There are a couple other guys, yes. But, yes, last night, if I was a Bengals season ticket salesman, if I was anyone in that organization, I was literally –
you had guys working last night.
I would have had guys on the phone last night.
Joe Burrow tickets.
Right.
How many do you want?
60-6 touchdown to interception ratio, 10-1. Normally we talk about 2 or 3-1 is really, really, really good. 10-1.
The only thing is, man, because we had, I believe, the Ohio State quarterback had 40 touchdowns and one interception.
Ridiculous.
Some of the numbers in the college football, the top programs have been just ridiculous.
But we talk about Burrow and who he's playing against and this and that. He played Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, UF, and Texas, all ranked within the top 9.
Yeah.
And he threw 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions against those teams. So we're not talking about inflating your stats because you have 2 cupcakes in the beginning of the season where you go for 6 touchdowns and no interceptions and all of a sudden you have 50 on the season. This guy threw 60 touchdowns and 27 of them against some of the top teams in the country.
Yeah, Zach, he's had
ridiculous
one of the greatest years you could ever have as a quarterback. I know we've had some great running quarterbacks. It also put up numbers, but what this guy did this year, his accuracy, even some of the throws he made last night in this huge game, I mean, look at the last couple of games, the biggest games, and he just put up stupid, stupid numbers. And by the way, a talented group of receivers, Chase Moss, Randy Moss's son, who's a tight end, Jefferson, another really good game last night. So LSU got a lot of weapons, got a little running back that would look really good in a Dolphin uniform too. Went for a quiet 100 yards last night. Hell, they had 628 yards of against Clemson's defense.
Right, right.
I mean, say no more. That's only one story. Just the stories across the board. Baseball getting after it with this Astros story. You know, some are calling it over the top. Some are saying it wasn't harsh enough. I mean, we got media people all over the country, a little different take on what happened with the Astros, with the sign stealing and the high-tech sign stealing that took place. And manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeff Luhnow, both guys were suspended for a year, followed up by being fired by their owner. And all the things. Severe, by the way, $5 million the organization's got to pay, slash owner. And they lose first and second round picks in next 2 summer drafts in June. That's
a lot. That's a nice.
They're not losing their 2017. They'll have to give their World Series ring back.
No, it's not the NCAA where they're going to vacate wins, by the way.
Why this is going on, the guy they're saying is in the middle of it was the bench coach back in 2017, Alex Cora. And now, of course, he's the manager now for the Boston Red Sox. He's got no. I mean, they came out and said, "Yeah, our bench coach was right in the middle of it." I heard that. There's only one bench coach. It's not like you have to guess which coach is it. It's the bench coach. Alex Cora is looking at some serious, severe penalty coming up here.
The New York Post has a story out, and the story says Red Sox's Alex Cora is going to get crushed after this. I mean, crushed. And it says, according to the Post, Joel Sherman, a stern punishment is expected for the Boston manager. The report also stated that Cora was involved, quote, was involved in developing both the banging scheme and utilizing the replay review room to decode and transmit signs. So all the details are in here, and all the details are all against Cora. If what we saw yesterday was harsh to people, today is going to be much worse, I believe, for Cora.
Can you imagine? Is there anything worse than waiting to know your punishment's going to be severe and you don't know when it's coming down? I mean, Alex Cora is going to be out of baseball for a while.
Yes, at least a year.
And then you got to overcome that whole cheating thing that Alex Cora is going to have to deal with, especially on this thing. He's gone. Listen, the Red Sox got to follow suit, don't they, from what the Astros just did?
Cora's gone.
He's
fired.
Like, hey, you're not only suspended, but you're fired for what you've done. And hoping baseball take it a little easier on us. But they're going to have –
Rob Manfred wrote in his statement that he was condoning the player's conduct. Like, this is the commissioner coming out and saying, we know the details, we know what happened, and Cora condoned the conduct and was one of the people that put this whole thing together. This guy's going to get hammered today. It's not going to be a small punishment or a small fine or whatever. He's going to be lucky if he's back in baseball in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
If he's back in baseball.
Maybe you're right. And this is, you know, it's just, it's bad. And I know they've been stealing signs forever. I'm not like.
This is a different whole animal, Joe.
Been around and, you know, and guys find out you're stealing them. Some of the old school guys would throw at you and, you know, remind you, please don't be doing that. And those kind of things. This is bad. I would love to know, and I'm being serious about this. I'd love to know if you know what's coming. Like, you get the garbage can double bang, meaning a curveball.
Mm.
One's a fastball, two's a curve, three used to be a changeup, whatever it would be now. If you see some off speed pitch or whatever, how much that helps a guy that hears that?
Right. Changes, I'm assuming it does.
Changes. Or do you just look for every – I don't know, honestly, and would be really curious to hear. Yeah, you know, that's a – no, I know a big break in picks. I don't have to sit on a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. I can sit on his 87-mile-an-hour, 88-mile, or 90-mile-an-hour break in pitch. I got a lot easier, especially for guys that throw really hard. I guess it'd be a big advantage.
It's an advantage. It has to be an advantage. Otherwise, why would they do it? You know, if you know.
Oh, no.
Right. To go to that advantage.
Yeah.
To do what they did. It's one, like you said, it's one thing for, and you talk to the old school guys about, you know, stealing signs from second base, seeing what they're calling, and maybe giving some sort of flash to a guy. And obviously, that's not good, too. That's cheating, also. This was a system put in place with the replay review room, banging garbage cans, a whole entire Morse code.
How about the cameras? Getting up close look of the catcher's crotch.
Full zoom into the crotch.
And fingers, you know, the 1, 2, the 3, the 4, inside, outside.
They got the pylon cam, they have the crotch cam.
How about being able to get that stuff quickly down, have the cameras connected where the players can get it.
And then the banging.
The players, and then right to it. Bang, bang, right there. And the guy's got a split second. I heard it, got it. Breaking pitch, outside, I got it.
A full system was put in place by someone, and Cora's being blamed for it. For the system.
Oh, yeah.
Not for the cheating, not for the who was in charge and who knew what was going on, for the guy that put this system in place for it to work.
Oh, he may be paying a big price for this whole thing. I just have questions, though. Just going back, like, this is going on. A.J. Hinch, who I like, A.J., man. I really do. And sitting have broken bread and told stories and he's got great stories. Mine are mostly made up. His are real. But, like, you know, if you see it, I just like, AJ, like, Cora's doing this. Or
right.
you hear the banging. Like, do you run in there? Do you say, hey, guys.
What are you guys doing?
Stop. Stop it. Or do you say, well, it's helping us. And it looks like, I don't know. Or do you think everybody else in baseball must be doing this? Because word had to spread. Because you don't keep the same guys on the team. So guys go to a new team.
Better make sure they don't leave unhappy.
And then when the guys go to the other team and they're going, oh, hell no, I know what they do here. They know what our pitches are. And that's what happened. One of their former pitchers went to the A's.
Mike Fears or Fires, was that his name? Yeah.
Yeah, and they're facing, and he's going, well, they know everything they're throwing here. And so he calls him out, and he said, enough's enough. And then, boy, this thing just got really, really ugly. So, I don't know. How bad at cheating? And, you know, I guess it counts on who you are because you still got to be able to hit it and all those things.
Right. But still got to be able to swing the bat the right way. To
still
to
not
the
what baseball needs right now.
Somebody texted in, by the way, Cora suspension is going to be a lifetime ban, not eligible for reinstatement for 3 years.
Wow. Gosh.
You heard it here first. Somebody.
Hey, we got Omar Kelly from Sun Sentinel going to join us. I got a little carried away there talking about this story. And the Antonio Brown story, if you haven't seen it on social media, he's out of his friggin' mind. He, if you know Antonio Brown, help him. Bring somebody with you and help him. And this is not joking around. This is This is pretty serious stuff. Please help the guy.
He needs a little bit of help, by the way.
He needs it.
And we can help you also if you need two tickets to the big game. Jersey Mike's, Pepsi, and Lay's have some to give away. Keep listening here for your chance to win, courtesy of Pepsi.
At 560 The Joe, WQ.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar, good morning. What do you think of last night's game, Joe Burrow? The almost ours, Joe Burrow.
It was phenomenal. It was a great game. LSU is a great team. I was watching Get Up this morning discuss whether they were better than 2000 Hurricanes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Interesting conversation. I would agree with them that they're not better than the 2000 Hurricane, but they're a phenomenal team. I'm happy for Ed Ogeron. I'm happy for that team. Joe Burrow is a bad man. The Bengals are a lucky team for tanking, and hopefully we can figure this quarterback situation out down here in Miami.
I sure hope so, man. I hope you're right. Hey, speaking of the coaching staff and Coach Flores, I was really surprised to see him get rid of his offensive coordinator, but I'm really surprised that Coach Graham is now going to be with the Giants. Did that one surprise you?
No, and in fact, I was quite thankful for it because I thought he did a worse job than Chad O'Shea, and I didn't understand why he wasn't let go. If Chad O'Shea's performance was unacceptable, then Patrick Graham's performance should have definitely been unacceptable. I'm happy for him that he gets another opportunity. Maybe when he has more talent, he can be a better play caller, but from the start of the season, and this is what fans have to understand, and I understand that they're not trying to be insightful. He never had an answer for anything. And in terms of, you know, beginning the year, oh, how are we going to set the edge? You know, I was obsessed about how they're going to set the edge, how they're going to stop the run. They had no plan. They had no concept. They had no idea. And that this is before they even got rid of some of the talent. They just didn't have an answer for anything on defense. And I get it, personnel was not great. But even with personnel that was lacking, I thought they performed poorly.
Well, you got to start with lack of talent. There were no pass rushers, which I think we all agree on
yes.
that part. And
oh, no doubt.
A banged up secondary. The first game was just unacceptable, keeping him in the pocket and nobody deep, and that was a disaster. But
yeah.
You know what's amazing about this whole thing is those guys are really close, and He obviously, when he allowed him to go ahead and go with Judge, told you
everything. All of them were very close. Chad O'Shea was very close. Patrick Graham was very close to him. And, you know, it makes me, you know, it makes me a little concerned because, you know, they say don't work with your friends. You know, don't, and I get it. The business of the NFL and sports, that's all they do is they hire their friends. But, you know, they were sold as very, very close. Everybody was very close. And look, everybody's gone. Everybody took the opportunity to get out of here when they had the opportunity to. And maybe he had better contracts or better situations. But, you know, knowing Steve Ross has never been shy about spending money on anything, including the coaching staff. So if it was an opportunity of, hey, give him more money, give him more years, I'm sure that would could have been addressed. But now it makes me wonder, like, you know, and I know the Dolphin fan will be upset about me asking this question, but are people uninterested in working for Miami or uninterested in working for Brian Flores? Like, you have to raise that question considering the exodus that you're seeing.
See, I don't think he wanted Graham. He didn't want him back because you're right. He could have said, no, we're not going to allow you to let him go to the Giants, not for the same job. So he went, yeah, go ahead, go. Like, there had to be a backup.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Which is
weird. No, I totally agree with you. And here's the thing that I cannot speak to because I'm not in these meeting rooms. I'm not in the coach's booth when they're calling plays. Maybe he knew who was really holding this team up. You know, like, for instance, I will tell you, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick and his two-man game with Devontae Parker, maybe that was holding up the offense and not necessarily the play calling. Maybe he didn't feel like the quarterback development was as good as it could have and should have been, which is why we probably see the Chan Gailey addition. You know, and Chan Gailey brings his own quarterback coach in Robbie Brown. You know, and I have to trust that Brian Flores knows better about the situation than everybody else, which is why I'm fine with him making the changes that he's making, because ultimately I will hold him accountable for the wins and losses and hold him accountable for his staff's performance. But I have to agree with him that, hey, these guys were nothing special. I could do and should do better, because I totally agree with that. Personnel or not, I agree that they could and should do better. There's no reason that they were set a franchise low in rushing yards. There's no reason that they were, you know, the fourth worst team in opposing passer rating, quarterback passer rating. There's no reason that they performed as badly as they did, even with the personnel that they had on defense.
Omar, this was the worst talent in the history of the Miami Dolphins. Like, you keep talking about those stats.
No.
Come on, Omar. Come on, man. That no pass rush, nobody to cover. We're picking guys up and we're making them cover the same week. And you keep throwing up those stats.
Picking guys up and making them start the next week. But no matter what you're handed, you should have competent play calling. Could we at least agree with that? Or are we just saying, oh, the talent was so bad? Like, you had competent enough play calling to get 5 wins. You performed so well against the Eagles. You performed so well against the New England Patriots. Are we just supposed to say this is just aberration? This is just luck? No, I'm sorry. Play calling and coaching was a factor in why you looked as bad as you looked, especially early. Now, later in the season, maybe it was a contributor for why you started to do better and win 5 of 9 games. But it still wasn't good enough for me. The run game, I mean, they got to the point where they just abandoned the run game. When is that ever acceptable? When is that? Chad O'Shea was just like, you know what, we can't run. I'm going to stop trying to run. And that was a reality check for me. And, yeah, it's a personnel issue, but I'm sorry, like, for a coaching staff to say, okay, we quit. We give up. Like, that's never acceptable.
I don't see how you think they gave up. Hell, they were winning more games than after those first 4 or 5 games. They played a lot better.
No,
they were competitive.
To run the ball. To run the ball. They gave up on the running game.
Well, three, and four were gone. Our top three guys were gone or injured or traded or cut or released or?
I mean, you're one. The guy who started the season shouldn't have been the starter to begin with. That's a coaching decision, isn't it, Joe?
No, I mean, if you don't like who started the season and which guy was one and which guy was two in the rotation, I just, boy, you got, Omar, you sure got this lopsided, but you constantly make this coaching staff out to be really bad, and I'm thinking nobody, including, I'm guessing, ownership, thought they're going to be this good and win this many games. Plus, they just flat out play better at the end of the year, no matter what it is, what lack of running game
they
or whatever.
Did play better.
Yeah, that's all.
They did play better at the end of the year, but could they rush the passer? No. Could they pressure the quarterback? Could they stop the run? You know, the only thing they could really do effectively was cover the tight ends. And that props to them for moving Eric Rowe. That's a good coaching decision. But, like, if that was the case, why don't you have Eric Rowe serve in that role and maybe have Minkah Fitzpatrick play free safety and maybe Minkah would still be on this team? Like, let's not act like coaching is just so much above all the issues that they had. Look at the turnover on this staff. Clearly, Brian Flores felt like coaching was an issue. Am I wrong?
No, I'm guessing he wasn't happy with certain things that these two guys would still be here. I do agree with that. But
I feel like I'm the only person who actually agrees with Brian Flores and says, hey, the standard should be higher than what we've delivered. Like, everybody's like, oh, five wins, 5 of 9 wins. Oh, this is great. Oh, it was a crappy season. Like, crappy in every aspect. Like, don't celebrate the fact that you claimed 12 guys off people's practice squads and started them. Like, that's not nothing to cheer about. Like, if you weren't trying to be this bad to go get Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa, you just sucked in every level of your job responsibility.
Must have done something right, because they damn near, with that roster, won 2 or 3 more games.
You're right. But it's 7-9, the goal, Joe? It's
no,
seven
but I hope we ne- – I'm
got,
telling you.
We got rid of 3 coaches for 7-9.
That was one of the worst rosters I've ever seen.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
In those areas that you talked about, offensive line, pass rushers, lack of cover guys. We're playing guys that have been cut by other teams that needed defensive backs to cover. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. But you built the whole team with no pass rushing. No plan for pass rushing. No plan for edge setting. No plan. Where was the plan, Joe?
No, I agree with that to start. That thing was built when you looked at it, said either you got some creative blitzes coming up every game or we aren't going to have a pass rush.
Yeah, where were these creative blitzes?
And we didn't have a pass rush.
We had all these creative blitzes about this exotic package, this physical-based package. Where the hell were the blitzes, Joe? Jerome Baker, everybody swore he was going to have, like, what, a double-digit sacks this year? Where the sacks, Joe?
They didn't have it.
Didn't have it because you know why? The defensive coordinator ain't that good at his job.
They didn't have that many talented guys. You still got to have guys that can get there.
Well, we're sitting up praising Vince Beagle for being, you know, super talented and all these, you know, Taco Charlton. I mean, every fundamental part. The roster was built poorly. The coaches performed poorly.
On purpose.
The players performed poorly.
Yeah. All right.
Which one are you putting on purpose?
Oh, I just think this roster was set up to play really hard with limited talent, to put it nicely.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Well, it would have been nice if you
coach it up. See what you can get out of this group, coach. It's not much, but go for it. You got a handful of core guys that will be back. Work around them. See what you can do. Anyway, we got to run there,
man,
Omar. Thank you, man.
All right.
We'll have to continue this another time.
At least Ryan Tannehill's not in the Super Bowl yet. If you need 2 tickets to the big game, Jersey Mike's, Pepsi, and Lay's have some to give away. Keep listening here for your chance to win in the 9 o'clock hour, courtesy of Pepsi.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.